Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and happy Monday. Welcome back to the show. We are 1 week away from Christmas. Are you feeling it? I don't know about you, but I am feeling the stress, and I had to tell my husband, I cannot be shamed by my own radio show. I've got to take my own advice on stress management and thinking about what is the true meaning of Christmas, letting some things go, reminding myself my family does not have to have a picture in matching pajamas. We don't have to cut down a Christmas tree. We don't have to have the perfect holiday greeting photo. We can still celebrate the birth of Jesus. So we have a holiday themed show for you, and I am delighted, just delighted to have as our guest today, Pastor Joseph Parker. Now, he hosts the Hour of Intercession here at American Family Radio, and I have had the joy and the privilege of being on his show before. And let me just tell you a little bit about Pastor Parker. Pastor Joseph, he is a man of prayer. This man knows how to pray, and I think that is something that the Lord has really been teaching me and impressing on my heart over the last decade. If you have read my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide for Parents and Teens to Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, you'll see that the opening scene is my oldest daughter, who was 13 at the time, who threw a book at my head while I was driving. We were having an argument, and I did the only thing I knew to do in that moment. I prayed. Very loudly, not very artfully, but God has taught me that it is important to pray, to have a conversation with Him that is ongoing from the moment my eyes open in the morning until the moment they close at night. And even sometimes in the night, I'll wake up with something on my heart, the Lord impressing it on my heart to pray. Now, God has impressed this on my husband as well, and he has started a habit of getting up in the morning and walking our neighborhood and praying for our family, our community, whatever needs are on his mind, and he will walk and spend an hour with the Lord. And I'll tell you, it's really encouraging when he comes back in the door, and I know that he has spent the last hour pouring out his heart before the Lord. Now, before we have Pastor Joseph come on, he is going to talk to us today about the importance of reading scripture out loud, and that is something that we incorporate into our prayer time. And I think you'll agree with me that there is nothing sweeter than hearing the voice of a little child read the truth of Scripture. So before we have Pastor Joseph, we are going to listen to an audio clip that he has provided of Kate, who is 8 years old, and she is going to read from Luke chapter 2 for us. So Jeff, let's play that clip.
Luke 2:1-21. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This, since this first took place, while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Luke 2:1-21.
Well, that is so precious. And I don't know about you, but in today's world where we're living at the speed of a smartphone, it can be hard to slow down and just to enjoy those simple truths in that way. Pastor Joseph, I am so excited to welcome you to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. Thank you for spending some time with us this afternoon.
Jessica, honored to be with you today.
Well, Pastor Joseph, I would love for you to share with our listeners what gave you such a heart for prayer and for Bible reading. Where did that come from in your personal walk with God?
Well, you know, Jessica, I have to say it was just the Holy Spirit, of course, that drew that desire in my heart. I've had the privilege of hosting the Hour of Intercession broadcast here at AFR, I guess, right about 10 years. And I think of this that it was about 2019 when the Lord directed me to start reading through the Bible on the broadcast. So once or twice during the course of a week, we're doing pretty much mostly Bible reading. And we've read all the way through the Bible at least once since we started doing that.
Wow.
I've been through the New Testament a few times. But one of the truths that has been so powerful that the Lord has taught me is that the reading of God's word is a form of prayer, but at the same time, time in God's word is much more critical for every believer than so many believers seem to grasp. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." That is much more true than most believers grasp. God's word is the cure for all the ills of life. And so when we come to see the critical place of God's word, it's important for us, and of course, obviously, it's very important for us as adults, but it's extremely important for our children as well.
Well, Pastor Joseph, I would love for you to talk about the fruitful habit of families taking time to read out loud the Bible, especially the Christmas stories, just like we heard Kate do. Now, a lot of times I think some families may think, hey, we're doing that at home, or they might have a parent read out loud. But what is the value of taking time to allow everyone in the family to participate in reading scripture out loud, especially during the Christmas season?
Well, you know, I would say this, that families that don't take the time are missing a tremendous blessing, a tremendous treat, as well as an opportunity to engage in some serious spiritual warfare as well. The reading of God's word is carrying out a tremendous act of warfare, which is very important. Now, that might sound a little strange for believers that don't grasp what exactly I mean by that, but the fact is, the reading of God's word is a tremendous way of battling darkness. And so it's good for us to do it individually. And I like to, on the broadcast, pretty regularly challenge believers to set a goal to reading at least 3 chapters in their Bible every day. And you can do that about 15 minutes or so. But it's very wise for parents to have the habit of having their children read out loud to them as well. And the reason that's important is because they just assign it. Sometimes they'll do it and sometimes they don't. But when they read to the parent, they'll know that they did it. Well, one of the reasons why it's so important to do it as a family is because, for example, the Christmas narratives are beautiful stories. They're powerful. Basically, we're talking Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. Well, the reality is, if you ask lots of believers, have you ever read all the way through those narratives during the Christmas season? Jessica, sadly, you'll find lots of believers have never in their life read all the way through the Christmas narratives during the Christmas season. But it's good for, it's very good for families to take the time to do it because, number one, it's a time to sit down and spend time with Jesus. When you're reading the Word of God, you're spending time in the presence of Jesus. He's speaking to you. And the fact is, he speaks through his word. And so if somebody says, well, what does Jesus' voice sound like? Well, it sounds surprisingly like a little girl named Kate when she's reading the Word of God out loud. And so it's good, though, for families to take the time because, number one, the Spirit of God will teach every member of the family things about Christmas that they didn't know. But also he will minister to them. They'll be edified and encouraged in the faith, and they'll draw closer to the Lord and to one another. And again, there will be things you'll learn about Christmas that you didn't know already. People might say, oh, I know the Christmas story. Well, maybe you do, but there's a whole lot more the Lord can teach you. So taking the time as a family, and I would encourage them to read it not just once or twice, but several times throughout the Christmas season, because yes, you will learn new things about the wonderful Christmas account that you didn't know.
Well, I think that is great advice for families. And one of the things that you do so beautifully on your show, on Hour of Intercession, is you pray spontaneously. And I think that's something that should also be incorporated into these scripture readings. And I know this is something the Lord has convicted me about when I tell my children or anyone else, you know, oh, I'll pray for you about that, or will you pray for me? And you say, yes, of course I will. I have really tried to say, okay, I will. Right now, I'm going to pray right now. So if my children text me and ask me for a prayer, I'll send a voice message right then. And if they're with me, then I'll tell them, yes, let's stop and pray about that right now. And Pastor Joseph, I would love to just model that for our listeners and show them what that looks like. And so can I ask you, would you just pray for those families who are leading their children through this holiday season, who may feel stressed by all of the holiday rush and think, how can I make time for this? I want to do it. Would you just pray that God would lay it on their hearts and make a way for them to read the Christmas stories together as a family?
Okay, my privilege. Father, thank you, Lord, for every believer, every family listening. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of them. And thank you for your Holy Spirit working in each of their lives. Father, anoint every individual and every family with a fresh anointing of the Spirit of prayer. Anoint them with a fresh anointing of the Spirit that would encourage them to get into your word in their life. And then anoint them with a fresh anointing that would encourage them to make time to read through the Christmas narratives, not just once or twice, but several times during the Christmas season, and help them to grow in their understanding of the fact that time in your word is such valuable time. In fact, Lord, set them on fire with the Holy Spirit of reading and studying your word, Lord. Cause them to grow in their understanding of the need for them to make time daily to bring their family together to read your word and thus receive the blessings that come from it. Thank you for that opportunity. We thank you and praise you. Lord, thank you for every family listening, and thank you for those we lifted up today in prayer, Father. Father, and we pray over them, Father, today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. So we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High our habitation, no evil will befall us. Neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. Give your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against the stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent we trample underfoot, because we have set our love upon you. Therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us with long life. You satisfy us. Show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Well, if you want to learn how to pray like that, then listen to the Hour of Intercession at American Family Radio, because I already feel encouraged and strengthened. Now, when we come back, we are going to talk about how to involve grandparents in this scripture reading, and you won't want to miss it. We'll be back on the other side of this break.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to this Monday before Christmas. You have 1 week left, and we are encouraging you in this hour here on the show today to slow down, to just reject all of that busyness, and whatever you have to do, just put it on hold. There, I have had the absolute delight of speaking with Pastor Joseph Parker today, who hosts Hour of Intercession at American Family Radio. He is a prayer warrior and such a man of faith. And if you were listening before the break, just gave us a very powerful prayer. And I think today's families, it's really hard for us to find time. But I'll challenge you, if you have an iPhone, you can look at your screen time app right there on your iPhone. And I will bet you that you can find 10 or 15 minutes a day to give time to Bible reading and to prayer. Now, before the break, we were talking about the importance of reading through the scriptures out loud, which is important. I've got two girls who are home from college, and they are reading out loud at night, Joy to the World, Spurgeon's Daily Readings for Advent, and we are reading from scripture. Now, Pastor Joseph, you have a really clever, creative idea for a way to get grandparents involved in having their grandkids read scripture to them. Would you share that with us?
Yes, be glad to. Would mention for the listeners that would like to get a copy of the blog, of course, it's on the AFA stand. It's entitled A Grandparents Christmas Discipleship Project. It's a fun project, but at the same time, it's a serious project to help plant the powerful Word of God in the hearts and the minds of our grandchildren. But basically, it's where we're encouraging grandparents to deliberately carry out this project with their grandkids during the Christmas season. Now, keep in mind, obviously, you can adapt it to your situation, but you can take now, of course, we're within 7 days away, but the full project, we suggest 8 days, but it can be adapted, as I said. But basically, it's where we're inviting grandparents to contact your grandchildren and invite them to read all the way through the Christmas narratives at about 23 verses a day. For 8 days. And of course, if you want to adjust that, again, it's about 180 or so verses. And so you just divide it up however you want to do it. But have them to read for you over a period of days and let them know you're going to mail to them or by Cash App or whatever means, send them a monetary prize for each day they read for you. Now, that has a wonderful way of motivating grandkids that aren't especially motivated to read for granddad and grandmom otherwise. But one of the beauties is they will read all the way through the Christmas narratives. And the fact is, lots of children have never in their life read the Christmas narratives for anybody, but they'll do it for granddad and grandmom if they're going to pay them, typically, with this project.
Of course they will.
But also, the idea of sending them 8 different monetary prizes is better than, you know, if they wanted to do one monetary gift sent at the end, they could, but it's more fun doing it 8 different times for this reason. If you can picture 10-year-old Jimmy saying, Mom, has the mail come yet? Or has the Cash App gift come from granddad yet? He's paying me to read the Christmas story to him. And that grandchild will also come to the place where they'll think, apparently reading the Bible is important to grandma because she pays me to do it. But also, that child is going to hear from Jesus. When a child is reading the Word of God, they're spending time with Jesus. And that is so productive. So it's a good discipleship project to help plant the Word in the lives of our children. And also, it's another excuse for granddad and grandmom to spend time talking with their grandchildren as well.
Well, I love that idea, and I just posted the link on my Facebook page, and you can find it, just like you said, Pastor Joseph, at the stand through the American Family Association. And I know that one of my children's grandparents is listening, so I'd say, hey, Dad, that sounds like a great idea. I know some boys that would probably love to do that. But you also have another article that talks about, you know, not only do we want grandparents to share their spiritual wisdom, you talk about wisdom that we can gain from the wise men, and you share with us 3 lessons that we can learn. What are those 3 lessons, Pastor Joseph?
Well, you know, it's very important for us to understand that the Christmas narratives are not just nice, beautiful stories to read during the Christmas season,
but they have critical faith lessons for all of us to learn from every day of our lives. And so as we look at the story of the wise men, we can learn some important truths. And I tell you, Jessica, far beyond the article, there's so much insight and wisdom we can draw from all the Christmas narratives, but especially the story of the wise men, because amongst other things, one of the powerful truths behind this important narrative in Scripture is that it points out the tragedy of prayerlessness. One of the things we can know about the wise men was apparently they knew God. They knew him, but also they spent time, number two, listening to them as well. They apparently were great men of prayer. And you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, the fact is, it's through prayer that we learn to hear the Spirit of God speak to us about issues and concerns in life. And for example, the star that they were following, they knew what the star stood for. God had apparently told them as they spent time with God, listening to him and communing with him. And so they followed the star to find Christ. Sadly, we see where, again, many times the result of prayerlessness is people are spiritually dull. And we find many people in our culture today, they're that way. They're spiritually dull. They don't know what's going on. Lots of people saw the star. Most of them didn't have a clue as to what it stood for. And even when they got to Jerusalem, they asked about where the Christ would be born. The religious leaders knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But the Scripture doesn't indicate anybody said, hey, we want to follow you because we want to find the Messiah too. So again, lots of people that were spiritually dull. Well, that's a result of not seeking God. So we learn from the wise men, they knew God, they sought God and listened to God in prayer. And also thirdly, then they followed God. They were obedient. I can't overemphasize how important obedience to God is in the Christian life. We're to be hearers and doers of God's word. And so even to this day, their lives are still pointing people to Jesus Christ. And so reading and studying the word of God as a family, as well as individually, helps us draw closer to God. And again, as I mentioned earlier, reading and studying Scripture is a form of prayer. It's a form of communing with God, and it draws us together closer to the Lord individually and as a family as well.
Well, you've provided so much encouragement and just encouraging us as families to read through the Christmas narratives, as you have talked about. That's from Matthew and from Luke, engaging grandparents, especially those who live far away, to be able to have their grandchildren read the Christmas story out loud to them, and learning from those Christmas stories. You've given us some great advice from the wise men, and you also have some advice from the lessons that we can learn about the stories of pregnancy that are in the Bible. Now, Pastor Joseph, I want to tell you a little humorous story really quickly, because sometimes it can be hard to speak with children about these things. And I'll never forget when my daughter was probably around 5 years old, and she asked me one day, what is a virgin? And I thought, oh, she must have heard us, you know, reading the scripture and talking in church. And I asked her, I said, why are you asking me that? And she said, well, I heard it on TV. And I thought, oh my goodness, what did she hear on TV? I said, what TV show? And she said, Caillou, which is this little cartoon. I said, well, what did you hear them say? And she said, his dad has a virgin to cats. And she meant a virgin. So sometimes it's important for us to ask why they're asking so we can give them the right explanation. But you have some encouragement and some wisdom to share on this line, and I would love to hear it.
Well, you know, I think a beautiful and a powerful truth within the Christmas narratives is that mothers and pregnancy and the story of Christmas go together beautifully and wonderfully in a wonderful way, in that because the Christmas narratives contain not just one, but two very unique pregnancies and births of children. Of course, obviously, the Christ, the Messiah, the birth of the Lord Jesus, a teenage girl becomes the mother of the Messiah by a miraculous conception. But then also the mother of John the Baptist, Elizabeth, she becomes pregnant at an age in which normally she would have probably been either a grandmother or a great-grandmother. And both of them are situations where, sadly, we live in a culture where, even though we think of the Christmas stories as being beautiful and wonderful and grace-filled, and they are, but at the same time, they take place at a time that's a very difficult time in life, where there were wicked kings and people that thought it was okay to destroy people for selfish reasons and to destroy children. Well, sadly, we live in a culture today that thinks it's okay to destroy children through the tragedy of abortion. And so there are a number of reasons which you hear today that could have been said to both Mary as a young, unwed mother and Elizabeth as an elderly pregnant mother, excuses for why a doctor would say, you really need to get an abortion. But thank God for the fact that the Word of God tells us to choose life. And of course, obviously, Mary and Elizabeth did just that. But the fact is, again, the combination of mothers and pregnancy and the Christmas season, they all go together in a beautiful way. And it's neat to read through that. I think of with Luke having been a physician, he includes some unique details in the story when he mentions at 6 months or something to that effect. Well, sometimes men may skip things like, may miss things like that. But women and doctors understand that, well, of course, Mary became pregnant with Jesus when Elizabeth was 6 months along. But again, if you're not careful, you can miss little details like that that Dr. Luke includes, though. So some wonderful insights and powerful truths about mothers and pregnancy found in the Christmas narratives.
Well, Pastor Joseph, would you just, I'm going to ask you to pray again and just pray for families that are teaching their children these truths. And I just pray that you would, I ask that you would pray against spiritual warfare. You mentioned that earlier. And I think as parents, we feel it. We feel the fight. We feel the fear. We feel the uncertainty. And would you just pray protection and encouragement and wisdom for these families who are striving to do the right thing and to raise their children to be healthy people who love God and love their families and want to serve the Lord?
Okay, I'll just quick say a brief prayer, but I would mention that there was a little boy that's born March 14th. He was one of the clients of our pregnancy ministry in the Mississippi Delta. His mom had pursued abortion, but God got in the way, and he was born March 14th. And so this is a special season. This is his first Christmas season. So I'm going to pray for that family and all families. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you, Lord, for every family represented listening today. Thank you, Father, for the Christmas season, and thank you for the opportunity for us to make time to seek you and to realize this, that in the midst of life, there's much warfare. But as we learn to read and study your word, to stand on your word, to speak your word, to pray your word, we can become warriors in the kingdom of God, knowing how to successfully battle the darkness with our families. Anoint every family afresh with the spirit of prayer, worship, and thanksgiving. Empower us to be praying families, families who are diligent to get into your word, families who are diligent to teach and train our children to fill their hearts and their minds with your word each and every day. And help us to be wise families who are wise enough to seek to steer our children away from darkness and the devices of darkness that would pull them away from God and the things of God. Help us to be wise husbands and wives, wise fathers and mothers, and parents who aren't afraid to do the right thing in the midst of all that we see going on in the world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, Pastor Joseph, tell our listeners how they can listen to the Hour of Intercession and tell them what they can expect when they listen in.
Well, the Hour of Intercession does air 5 days a week in the fourth watch of the night, early in the morning, 3 to 4 a.m. Central. So if you happen to miss it, you happen to not be up at that time of the morning, you can catch it by podcast. But it is Monday through Friday here on AFR. And it is a program meant to help set your prayer life on fire and to help you to become a diligent disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we encourage you to tune in and hope that you'll pray for the ministry and the work of that broadcast as well as the whole radio and AFR network.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Joseph, for joining us. Thank you for praying over us, and thank you for encouraging us and giving us all kinds of ideas of ways that we can engage and equip and encourage our family, especially during this holiday season. We are so grateful for you.
Well, thank you so much for the privilege of being on with you, Jessica.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Now, listen, friends, don't go away because we have a lot more to talk about in this hour. I want to start by sharing an email that I got from a listener. Now, we've been on the air now for almost 2 months. And so thank you all to those of you who are joining in, who are listening in every day. Now, my radio producer and I, Stephanie, we have a little running joke because it seems like all of the things that we've said, our husbands seem to hear only, hey, you talked about the scientific benefits of 20-second hugs. Now, if you missed that show, I did talk about some research that talks about how 20-second hugs, hugging for 20 seconds, releases oxytocin in our brains, which is a bonding chemical. And we really need to give our kids those long, good, warm hugs, as well as our spouses. And so I wanted to share this email from a listener named John, who was writing in from Virginia. And he says he was especially intrigued with my statement about how important a hug is and how it can generate actual chemical changes in the human body. He is surmising it works with pets too. I cannot attest to that. I do not know, but maybe it does. He goes on to say, I was amazed at that statement. I had no idea. However, I can certainly appreciate what you mean. For example, I often give my wife a hug after dinner or at other odd times just to let her know how much I love her and adore her existence in my life. But several weeks ago, upon giving her one of those hugs, she started on one side and stayed there for an extended length of time and then moved to the other side. And then she returned to the first side for another extended hug. It was unbelievable. I was stunned. She'd never before hugged me in that way. We've been very happily married for a long time, and you must know that in that hug, my mind was then developing the image of Sally Field's expression of joy upon receiving an Academy Award, saying, "You like me. You really like me." And he said this, and it brought me to tears. It is one thing to love someone. It is yet another thing to be loved by someone ardently and completely. In that sense, love to life is as a brick to a building, and whenever I think of that long hug, it brings a tear of joy to my eye to know that a woman of such high caliber thinks of me in the same light. We've got lots more to talk about. Be right back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to this Monday before Christmas as we enter the rush to the countdown, all of the things that we have to do, all of the gifts that we have to buy, all of the parties that we're going to, all of those things. Don't let those distract you from the truth and the hope and the joy of Christmas. Now, if you've been listening, we were so blessed to have Pastor Joseph Parker, who hosts the Hour of Intercession at American Family Radio, give us some great ideas for engaging with our families. And he prayed a couple of beautiful prayers over you. Even if you weren't listening, you were covered in that blessing. I also was talking about an email that I got from a listener about his experience with his wife giving him now the famous 20-second hug. Now, if you don't know what else to get your spouse for Christmas, I'm just saying pretty much all my husband wants is a 20-second hug. So I encourage you, try it. Try it. Go home and hug your spouse for 20 seconds and let me know how it goes. I want to know because this seems to be catching on. Now, we are going to give away a book now. Okay, so get your phones ready. I'm about to give the number. In the spirit of the Christmas season, we are giving away today Alex McFarland and Bert Harper's book. They host Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, and we are going to give away their book, 100 Bible Questions and Answers for Families, to the first caller at 888-589-8840. Now that's 888-589-8840. Now we have a lot more to cover. I have a lot I want to talk to you about in this week before Christmas. And so what I'm going to spend this next few minutes talking to you about is actually five toys that are potentially dangerous. And if you've bought them, you should rethink having them under your tree or rethink some safety things around that. And if you haven't bought them, then maybe you should give some second thoughts. Then I'm going to talk about some ways to engage with our older kids because There's a lot to do for younger kids at the holidays. You can take them to see Santa. You can do something as, you know, easy as a gingerbread house or whatever it is that your family traditions are. It's easy to find things for younger kids, but not for older kids. So with that, let me dive into these five toys that would not be under this pediatric nurse practitioner mama's tree at Christmas time. Now, the first one on my list is anything with button batteries. Okay, now this is something to really look at. If you have a battery-operated toy, does it use button batteries? These are something that I'm seeing a lot in emergency situations. Now, they're usually this little round flat disc, and it looks like it's about the size of a penny. It's usually between a penny and a nickel, and they're used in a lot of toys. And what happens is they're really shiny. They look really small and kids swallow them because the screws that are used to secure those batteries inside products, they're so tiny that they can loosen and they can become choking hazards in and of themselves. So what I see is sometimes that button battery gets stuck in a baby or a toddler's throat. And these button batteries, the outside of it erodes very quickly, and it has chemicals inside that burn the esophagus. Now, let me tell you, you do not want a hole burned in your esophagus. It's really, really difficult to repair, which is one of the reasons why it makes me so nervous about them. And so it can be dangerous to the point of being fatal. So that is something that is really concerning. Now, sometimes they'll swallow it and then it can also erode a hole in their stomach. So if you are even concerned at all about potentially swallowing a button battery, it's very easy to see if a kid did or not. Sometimes parents aren't sure. We can do a quick x-ray and look and see if that shows up. And if it's caught early, it's usually pretty easy to retrieve. And we'll usually do that. A lot of times we can do that right there in the emergency room. So look and see if there are, if there are button batteries. Now, if your child has swallowed a button battery and they're over 1 year of age, that's really important because you actually shouldn't give this to babies under 1 year of age. But if they're over that, you can give honey. And the reason we don't give it to little kids is because the risk of botulism under a year of age, but over a year you can give honey and that can help, you know, to decrease the risk of burns and tissue damages, but you need to get to an emergency room as soon as you possibly can. So those are things that I watch for. Number two on my list is water beads. Now, I think these are going bye-bye. These are going the way of off the market, but they're often marketed as sensory toys for kids with sensory issues like autism or other things like that. But they actually have a polymer inside and they can swell and they can obstruct your intestine and even cause a hole in it. They can also get stuck in their airway because they're about that size when they're swallowed, but then they swell. So I don't really recommend anything with water beads, and you're seeing a lot of pediatric groups kind of sound the alarm about that. Number three on my list is electric scooters. Now, if you use these, here's the caveat. I'm not saying never use an electric scooter, but they actually can go pretty fast. And if you hit a bump in the sidewalk, you know, a crack, or if there's tar or something on the road that's any sort of obstacle and your face is going that fast, then you can have a pretty significant injury. So I know that it's not a very popular thing, especially among the kids who are the age that want the electric scooters. But just convey to your kids that safety is important and insist that they wear a helmet at a minimum if they're on a motorized toy. They really need to wear a helmet. Now, let me tell you, I could tell you horror stories for days about many, many cases that I've seen. And, you know, it's one of those things where parents think, oh, probably nothing will happen. But if something does happen, I have seen those really terrible, traumatic, and tragic outcomes that can be easily prevented. But one of the most common injuries that we see with electric scooters is actually arm fractures or elbow fractures. And for kids who are around 10 to 12 years of age who are most likely going to be riding these, they have open growth plates, which means that a lot of times that requires surgery and pins to make sure that it is corrected to the best of our ability so there's no problems with growing. So that is something that's there. Number four on my list is ATVs. Now, I know these are really popular, but actually it's not recommended for anyone under the age of 16 to ride an ATV. And again, I do see tragic stories there. And if they're over 16, they should wear a helmet. They should wear long pants. They should have supervision and make sure that they have some safety training. So that is something to think about and to look into. And especially if your child has never ridden an ATV before and, you know, doesn't have experience, and maybe you're visiting family who has, anytime, it doesn't matter if it's an ATV or anything, if you have that kind of feeling at the back of your mind, that just sense of unease, then don't be afraid to just speak up and just to say, you know, I'm not comfortable with that. And maybe they'll say, oh, you know, you're just overreacting, you're being too protective, you're just being, you know, too safe, then just absorb that. Honestly, I do it all the time and it doesn't bother me at all. Now, number five on my list is trampolines. Now, this is something that my kids really give me a hard time about, but my kids were the kids who would be at a birthday party and I would not let them on the trampoline. Again, this is because I've seen so many injuries that kind of ruin the way that I look at them. But even when you have them with a net, there can be things that happen in the net when they can try to climb out of that or over that. They can still get caught in that netting. But I see a lot of broken bones and head injuries on those. And so it's just something to think about. And mainly you're going to make sure that they have appropriate supervision, that they have some safety training. So if you are using a trampoline, things like only one kid jumping at a time. I know, you know, back in the 80s or early 90s, my siblings and I had this big old rickety trampoline that we would try to bounce each other off of. Like that was the whole point of jumping on the trampoline. And I can tell you, we had a few emergency room visits because of that. So those are the five gifts that are on my list of not on my list. And I just encourage you especially with little ones, just to think about those safety issues and just make sure that whatever you're giving them is safe. And especially for smaller babies, any stuffed animals that have little buttons on them or beads for eyes or something that they can pull off and choke on, that can be important. And just make sure that you're putting any plastic bags wrapping away and that you're just watching the babies at all times. We want everybody to have a healthy and safe Christmas. Now, I do want to talk, like I said, about some ways to engage your older kids, because younger kids, they're easier to entertain. And we also want to, you know, just make sure that they're safe. But there are some ways that you can engage with your older kids. So I'm going to give you 9 ideas here in our time left together. Now, if your child is on social media, and not everybody is, and that is completely fine, but you can invite them to coordinate a family video trend. Now, this may be TikTok, it may be Instagram. Believe me, if you ask them if they are on social media, they will know. They will have an idea. They will get involved in that. And sometimes it can be really fun for them to have Aunt Edna or, you know, grandma or whatever it is making a video together. And I encourage you to step out of your comfort zone and just do it, even though, yes, you will look tremendously silly. Yes, they will laugh at you. That can be a fun way to put them in charge and have them engaged. All right, idea number 2, volunteer somewhere together. So often we're thinking about what to do for our teens. We can forget about what to do with our teens. So really think about some kind of service. Now, this does not have to be elaborate. It can be collecting toys for maybe Blue Santa or Toys for Tots, or just signing up for a shift at a local food bank, or adopting a family for Christmas. Or something as simple as bringing cards or caroling at a nursing home or to someone who is homebound. Wesley Wildman and I talked about this before, about the joy, the simple joy of caroling. And no, you don't have to be a good singer. You can still go. And yep, I'm talking to my hubby. I still let him, even though he can't carry a tune in a bucket, I'm sorry, honey, you can't. You can do so many things, but not that. I'd still let him go because it brings such a smile to their face. So think about what you can do. Now, some other things that I've done to serve with my kids are they've made gifts or cards or come on rounds with me when to visit children in the hospital who I'm taking care of. Something simple, but that really means a lot together. Think about how you can serve. Idea number three, create a new tradition. So ask for your teen's input to create a new family tradition for the holidays. Maybe they're at that stage where they're saying, oh, mom, that's for babies. I don't want to do that anymore. And instead of being sad or salty about it, which I admit I've been guilty of both, ask them to give you ideas for a new family tradition. Maybe you would vote on it. Maybe you would have that, you know, decide on it together. But ask them to create their own new tradition that they can have, because sometimes certain traditions are for certain times and certain seasons, and it's okay to have new ones. All right, next idea, host a party. So host a party for them, for their friends. Again, I promise you, this does not have to be elaborate. It does not have to have monogrammed cookies and a DJ. Like, it just doesn't. It can have popcorn with a white elephant gift exchange or an ugly sweater party or just a hot chocolate bar and just let them hang out together. But sometimes when we're with family at Christmas, teens especially can miss their friends. And so being the bringer of good news for that, that may be a gift that you wrap up and give to them and say, you can have, here's a coupon to invite your friends over and to watch a Christmas movie together. That can be a way to really get their engagement and gratitude and to be a hero in their eyes. You can also do some baking together, bake some treats, do some Christmas baking to share with family, friends, and neighbors. Invite them to create their own signature contribution. What is their signature candy or cookie that they make that is uniquely theirs, and how can you affirm them? You can also share family recipes. So ask extended family members for favorite family recipes and make them over the holidays. You can try it like Nailed It, which is where you do Pinterest style challenges and post them on your social media. Ask them to vote for it. Even if it's a colossal failure, still have some fun. You might also, when you're trying to decide what Christmas movie to watch, well, create a poll on your social media and allow your friends and your family to vote on what movie you should watch as a family. Or you could create jars with a photo of each movie on the front and give each person in your family 5 coins to vote in that jar. Get some popcorn containers and some movie theater style box candy from the dollar store and have a movie together. You could also do Christmas lights and a scavenger hunt and create a list. Take some photos to see which team can find the most. Like, if some ideas would include looking for a nativity or Peanuts characters or nutcrackers or oversized ornaments or candy cane lights. These are all things that cost little or nothing, but that will be an investment in the life and the heart of your child. So I'd love for you to try them out. Let me know how they go. We've got a great week lined up for you. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about managing feelings at the holidays. We'll be talking about Bethlehem on Wednesday with Pastor Brian and a big party on Thursday. Stay tuned.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.